to you about the calling of a deacon. Now, you might be out there going and saying, well, I'm not a deacon, so I can just check out. I can take a nap and wake up in about 20 minutes. You know, hey, the essence of being a deacon, and we'll talk about this a lot a little later, is being a servant. And we're all servants in the Lord's army. And I want to just encourage you, what we're going to talk about today, I hope you'll get something out of also. And I want to start out with a just a kind of a mental picture, and you kind of see a physical picture up there, of that is a chaplain's assistant. Now, let's talk about a chaplain. If you don't know what a chaplain does in the military, guys, he provides religious kind of services for military personnel. He does stuff, he does ceremonies, he counsels, he provides activities for families. He ministers to soldiers and their families. Again, a lot of different things. But what you might not know is for every chaplain, there's one or two or sometimes more chaplain's assistants. And what they do, they make appointments, they set up rooms for events. They handle a lot of logistics. I remember I did a Bible study out at Whiting Field on a regular basis at one point. What I would do, I would show up. There'd be all these chaplain's assistants running around, getting the food ready, doing these kind of things. And the chaplain, all he had to do was work on preparing the word. It was beautiful. But what you may not know, in times of war, the chaplain's assistant is there to protect the chaplain. Why? The chaplain cannot carry a gun. The chaplain's assistants protect them to do what they've been called to do, and that is minister to, again, the soldiers. Now, this, I hope, will give us a very helpful way to think about what a deacon's kind of biblical ministry is. And so today I'm going to look at two scriptures, one right now, and then we'll go to another one just a little later. But the first one I want to turn to is Acts 6, really the where deaconship originated. I'm going to read a few verses. It says in verse 1, "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, and a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." I just want to show you, again, verse 7, it says, when everybody was doing what they were called to do, the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for Bryce and Mr. Don, Lord God. I thank you that you have called them to Florida Town to serve. And I pray that this morning, Lord, they would hear from you. Lord, that this church would hear from you. Lord, so may the words of my mouth, may the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. So, Lord, again, I pray they hear you. They walk out with life change. They hear me. Again, they walk out dumber. Lord, we trust you in all things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I've got an acrostic today, very simple, using the word deacon. And I think it kind of lays out very clear what the calling of a deacon is. First off, defend the pastor's calling. Okay, defend the pastor's calling. From Acts 6, we saw the church was growing and some... With growth, what happens? Problems arise, right? And what happened, some of the widows were not getting their daily distribution of food. So the apostles realized something very quickly. We cannot do everything. I think that's something we all should understand. We cannot do everything. We all have different giftedness, all different callings. And so, again, they understood this. So what did they do? God led them to choose 7 men who were of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. And notice what happened. The church, now watch this, it didn't minimize serving. It said, hey, some people are called to serve, and some people, the apostles, were called to minister the word and to prayer. And we'll talk about that in just a bit. So The first thing I want you to understand today as a deacon, you are there to take things off of the pastor's plate. Think about it. When the pastor is doing things that the deacons could do, a lot of times they're getting spread too thin. And when leaders are spread too thin, people will eventually suffer. I want to chase a quick rabbit about the pastor's calling. Acts 6 gives two priorities. First off, ministry of the word. Do y'all realize sermons don't just prepare themselves? Y'all understand Joel doesn't show up at 9:45, go to his office and say, "Lord, what do you want to say today?" That's not what happens. He doesn't show up at 5:30 in his office and go, "God, I know we're going to start service at 6. What do you want to do?" He doesn't take the Bible and go, "So this is what we're going to talk about today," right? That's not how it happens. There's preparation, there's prayer, there's research, there's wrestling with the text, and then getting the text to in a point, a way that you can understand. I'll never forget, I felt called when I was about 5 years from my oldest graduating. God really convicted me and said, "Jim, you've got 5 years till your young guy graduates." And so I cooked breakfast for my kids every morning the next 5 years, and we had a personal devotion time at my kitchen table. Now let me tell you what happened. I'll never forget, my youngest looked at me one day and says, "Dad, what do you do all day?" I said, "Well, you know, Nate, I do this, and I said, "And I prepare sermons." He goes, "Well, how hard is preparing a sermon?" And I go, "Well, Nate, you pick one topic that you feel like you're an expert and with related scriptures, and just start talking." He goes, "Okay, lying," because we had been working on lying one day. And he starts quoting a few scriptures, and he talks and talks and talks. And he says, "How much time was that?" I said, "That was 45 seconds. You still got about 29 minutes and 15 more seconds." And you saw a light bulb goes on, kind of like, "Oh, that's what you do. You prepare sermons." So again, ministry of the word is pretty important. But the second responsibility of a pastor is to pray. Because the way I can tell you what you believe is I'll look at what you do. Again, the way I can tell you what you believe is to look at what you do. Psalms 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." So, if we believe he is truly the source, I'm going to truly go to the source. If I truly believe that God builds the house, I'm going to go to the one that builds the house. If I believe he is the one that guards the house, I will go to the one who guards the house. But if I continually do it all in my flesh, that's, again, I can show you what I believe by what I do. Again, prayer, I got to be in my office on my knees before the Lord saying, "God, please." Hey, so one, we take things off the pastor's plate as a deacon, but also we don't add things to the plate. You know, guys, I've tell you, I've seen so many times unintentionally people add to the pastor's plate, or sometimes intentionally. You know, what does that look like? Instead of lightening the pastor's load, you add to it. Instead of solving a problem, you create problems. Instead of protecting the pastor, you become another burden he has to carry. And that happens, I believe, when we're not ultimately doing what God has called us to, exemplifying Christ's character. That's our second E, or our second letter, E, exemplifying Christ's character. Now, as a deacon, hey, God spells it out for us in 1 Timothy, and let's look at it, verses 8 through 13. It says, "Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greed for money, holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience, but let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." So it gives, again, it's just a bullet point list there. He says, hey, you must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, tested and found blameless. Now, let's look at a few of these. Reverent, a good reputation. I tell you, character matters as a deacon. guess what? As a church member, character matters. I tell you, I've seen down in Gainesville, we had one of our deacons got arrested for doing stupid stuff to his grandchild. Okay? We had to do a quick, formal, basically de-deaking because he was not repentant. He was not, you know, and he, again, the stuff he was doing was heinous. And guys, what that did, his lack of character reflected on our body. But we took a quick stance saying, hey, this is not all right. Again, he no longer represents our church as a deacon. But again, you need to understand, your actions impact not only your life, but if you're in leadership at a church, the church, but ultimately, it impacts how people view Christ many times. How many times have you seen pastors do something stupid and you go, you know, people go, yeah, that's terrible. Again, it impacts the view of Christ. Hey, secondly, not double-tongued. Again, hey, you don't need to go talk here one person, talk here. You don't need to be a step in the gossip chain. And what I see, how, you know, Scripture says to speak the truth, there's another phrase with that, in love. I see some leadership go, well, I'm speaking the truth, but there's no love in it. And typically what that looks like is Joel has to yell, clean up on aisle 9, because, again, you spoke truth without love, and that's just not a good situation. Hey, not double-tongued, not giving to too much wine. Because I want to tell you, I cannot make a great case for absolute abstinence from here. Can't. But let me tell you this. If you look in Proverbs, within three verses or three words of beer and wine, you're going to see fool, unwise, those kind of things. Okay? So again, as a deacon, as a man, I tell you, you know how many alcoholics never took a drink? Again, none. They took their first drink, and that's how they became an alcoholic. Again, I tell you, not giving too much wine. Not greed for money. I see deacons all the time. They run the church like a business. You know, they make business decisions. Hey, the church is a spiritual organization. You know, it's the bride of Christ. We must lead the church spiritually and resist the temptation to treat it like a corporation. Again, you as deacons have to exemplify Christ-like character. So we defend the pastor's calling. We exemplify Christ-like character. This is one of my favorite. We have to act as in a team. Act as a team. Hey, it's a team ministry. I want everybody in here. Again, we understand. Hey, I want you to raise your hand. Everybody, not just the deacons. I am not a lone ranger. Okay? There was one lone ranger, and he's dead, right? What was his name? Who played Lone Ranger back in the day? Nobody remembers who played him. I can't. If you said, I'd remember. But anyway, but literally, there are no Lone Rangers in ministry. Hey, you are partnering with God. You're partnering with other deacons in the pastor, and you're partnering with your wife. Let's talk about it. Partnering with God. We already read, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it in vain. Hear me, our best efforts without God in our camp are wasted. Our greatest strategies without God's power, again, just wasted time. Our greatest plans without God are absolutely going to fail. So as we leave the church, let's make sure we're being led by God. Did you catch that? As we lead the church, let's make sure we first as leadership are being led by God. And it's a very simple question. God, what do you want? God, what do you want? Here's the situation. God, what do you want? Now, hey, we partner with God, but we also partner with other deacons. We partner with the pastor. I told these guys last week, I believe God has brought them together for such a time as this. For such a time as this. And we have to take seriously Proverbs 11:14, one of my favorite verses, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is safety in godly counsel. Again, if the deacons and pastor are functioning properly, and brother, let's see, remind me your name. Casey. If Casey doesn't agree with something that's going on at Florida Town Baptist Church, now watch this. It's not because Joel said we're doing this. It's because Joel and the deacons have got together, they prayed, and they said, we feel God calling in this direction. Do y'all understand that? That's where safety is in multitude of counselors. Again, Proverbs right there. So there's safety in that process. It works. But guys, we don't only partner with God. We don't only partner with other deacons and the pastor. Guys, one of the biggest things that gets overlooked, we're partnering with our wife. You know, right there, again, 1 Timothy 3 says, likewise, so wives, all those qualifications before that kind of apply to you, but it says, must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all. Guys, God has given you a gift in ministry. It's your bride. I tell you, if you look in my phone, and when my wife calls, you're going to hear two things. You're going to hear one thing. You're going to hear Van Halen singing Hot for Teacher. She's a teacher, and it's kind of crazy when I'm in some meetings and I forget to turn my phone off, and it's like, and you hear Hot for Teacher. I'm like, hey, my wife's a teacher. It's my wife. But here's the deal. On my phone, it says God's gift. It says God's gift. That's her contact name from me. Because, one, hey, we need to be reminded of that sometimes. You know, if y'all don't know, hey, husband and wife sometimes have a little times of intense fellowship. That's how I like to put it, right? It gets kind of interesting. But again, every time she calls me, I'm reminded that is God's gift for me. She's my helpmate. But countless times over the years, I've seen wives that weren't controlling their tongue, that were not doing what, again, God says in these days, protect the church's reputation, be level-headed, be faithful. They were not doing these things. And watch this. They became not helpmates. They became hindermates. Again, I challenge you. Hey, be a helpmate to your spouse. So we defend the pastor's calling. We exemplify Christ-like character. We act as a team. C, I want us to cling to Christ. Acts 6 says the deacons were full of the Holy Spirit. Again, this is not a qualification. This is more of a lifestyle. Again, the office of deacons is many times we look at as service, but it's in the church. It's going to be a spiritual calling. We need to understand that. And so as you deal with people, as you make decisions, as you handle conflict, as you serve, as you lead, make sure you're men of the Holy Spirit. You're full of the Holy Spirit. John 15:5, we know it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And just a couple of verses later, it says, he who abides in me and I in him, you bear much fruit. For without me, you can do something. Is that what it says? It says nothing. Again, so why would we? Because we do it all the time. We run in, we're doing service without the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, without me, you can do nothing. I want to just tell you, ministry is going to wear you down. Are there any amens in the, you know, if you've been a pastor, or if you've served in the church, Brother Bobby, you should have said, amen. Ministry will wear you down. It will. You pour into people, you deal with problems, you carry burdens, you serve people, you fight spiritual battles. Again, these things are tough things. And if you're not careful, guys, what you're going to realize is the reservoir, there ain't a lot to give. And so this is what I want to tell you. You cannot continue to pour out if you're not continually being filled. Let me say that one more time. You cannot continue to pour out unless you're continually being filled. Ministry has to be from the overflow of your relationship with Christ. And so, hey, if you're not connected to the vine, I want to tell you, the vine's going to wither. It's amazing to me when I do gardening. I cut little stuff off and literally 2 days later, it's wilted. It's done. It happens just like that. So stay close to Jesus. Stay in his word. Stay in prayer. Stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And always remember, where's the power come from? Him, in my case, not Jim. You catch that? Him, not Jim. Jim's got nothing. So we defend the pastor's calling. We exemplify Christ-like character. We act as a team. We cling to Christ. We obtain godly wisdom. Again, we obtain godly wisdom. Now, where does wisdom come from? Me? No, sirree. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, let me tell you what we do. We like to trust ourselves. How many people think you know what's best for your life? Raise your hand high. You think you know what's best for Casey?
Used to.
And I always like to say, Casey, well, I always like to ask people, how'd that work out for you? It didn't work out good well for me. Not at all. Because what happens, we plus and minus things. We analyze, we calculate, we try to figure things out. But a little verse that just hits me right here all the time says in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? How many people, somebody just told you sometime on the journey, just follow your heart. You ever heard that? Now, I look back, and I really want to tell people that told me that, why do you hate me? Right? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, do we want to follow our heart? Absolutely not. We want to follow God. So when you come to a decision, resist the urge to plus and minus. In the church, it's real easy. Finances are down, so, Hey, we walk by faith, not by sight, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. So the question, Lord, should I or should I not? Lord, this way or this way? Lord, what would it look like to honor you in this decision? And guys, if you'll ask those questions, if you'll seek those answers, hear me. God doesn't play hide and seek. He's not making it hard. I believe he's going, hey, I'm right here. I'm right here. Again, he's not playing hide and seek. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Leadership, church, don't move until you get God's answer. Did you catch that? Don't move until we get God's answer. I tell you, what I so appreciated when I was at Friendship, we had three elders, pastor and two other guys. And guys, if it was ever 2-1, guess what? We didn't move because we wanted to move in unity. And so many times that one was God's check in the spirit for, again, hey, one time it was 1-8. I was the only one in the room that wanted to go a certain direction. And my deacons and elders were like, Jim, this is unwise. But I think we can do it. Jim, this is unwise. Guess what? We didn't do it, and they probably saved me from myself. It was good stuff, God stuff. So we defend the pastor's calling. We exemplify Christ-like character. We act as a team. We cling to Christ. We obtain godly wisdom. The last end is this, nurture the church through service. Again, never forget, and we talked about it right when we started, the essence of being a deacon is service. Again, the deacons were called to minister to the widows that had need. And this is how I'll sum it up. Deacons show up. Deacons show up. When there's a need, deacons show up. They serve people. They solve problems. They protect unity. They carry burdens. They care for the congregation. They help the pastor. They strengthen the church. Ultimately, hear me, their goal is to be a servant of Christ, absolutely first, to Florida town, second. Because what I've seen, sadly, over the years, I've seen deacons, when they get their title, they walk into church and refer to me as deacon so-and-so, and I'm like, this isn't going to go well. Again, they really wanted to be referred to as deacon, and I won't tell you who it was, okay? But again, it's not about a title. It's about being a servant of the Most High. So as we close today, church members, what we've talked about, I feel like applies to you too, because you're servants also. Again, if God called you to Florida town, you are to use the gifts that God has given you, gifts and abilities. It might be to play the piano. It might be to welcome somebody when they walk in. It might be to, hey, man, I'm pretty good at doing housework, and maybe you just need to come back in. I don't know what God's calling you to do. But, again, if God has you here, you have a gift, and get to work with it. And As we close, I just want to go over it real quick one more time. Again, we defend the pastor's calling. We take things off his plate. We don't add it. Again, we're freeing Joel up to ministry to the Word, to get and study and to pray. Hey, we exemplify Christ-like character. We understand my actions can impact people's view, most importantly, of Jesus Christ, but secondly, of Florida Time Baptist. Guys, we know we got to do it as a team. There's no Lone Rangers. Hey, I don't care who you are. We could bring Billy Graham in today, and guess what? He can't do it by himself. He can't. And just not going to happen. Hey, we cling to Christ. We know we have to be connected to the vine because the power is not from us. It's from Him. Guys, we go after godly wisdom. Lord, what do you want? Hey, I want what you want more than what I want. And finally, guys, nurtures the church through service. Again, hey, I'm going to commit. When there's a need, I'm going to show up. Again, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be the first one, Johnny on the spot. Here I am, Lord, send me. Very simple thought today. And again, hopefully as a deacon, as a body, that's a challenge. Mr. Joel.